These are not the comfortable words of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is the Jesus who seeks the kingdom of God first and foremost, who thirsts for justice and will let nothing stand in his way. This is confronting Jesus, who asks us to consider whether or not we are really his. Well, we're here, aren't we? We're worshipping him. We're listening to scripture. We're doing everything right, aren't we? As far as the world is concerned, this is what we do. As Christians, we get together on a weekly basis to worship and sing and pray together. Scientific study tells us that we live longer and healthier on average, but the scientists would go one to attribute that to simply what happens when people have good support networks, and churches certainly fall into this category. Many people out there, amongst them, friends and family perhaps, of all of us, are unwilling to make this commitment. They sometimes do not believe in God. Sometimes they do, but see no need to be a part of his church in order to honour him. Still, others are spiritual and cannot pin down their beliefs to a religion or tradition. But their lack of commitment is set alongside our level of commitment. In this morning's gospel reading, as we are told, that is not enough. To believe quietly in our own safe way, but rather we must care more for God than we care for family. We must acknowledge Jesus before those who would make our lives a misery for doing so. We must be willing to put our very lives at risk if we are to keep our souls safe. Ooh, these are really difficult words. We can be forgiven for thinking perhaps that it don't really apply to us. We are willing to tell people that we are Christians, we do put God first, and we recognise that our earthly lives are nothing compared with our hope of life ever after in the presence of God. Now, before you self-examine, let's be clear. Putting God first is not the same as putting the church first. We love all that you do within this community as a response to God's love for you. And we wouldn't do very well if it all stopped. But let us not think that missing a service to care for a sick relative is going to lead to eternal damnation. Separate those two things in your mind, God and the church, if you can, because they are two very different things. It is true that we do not live in circumstances that cause us to put our lives on the line for our faith. Now, I think of Alban, the first British martyr who died circa the year 209, that the church recognises and remembers tomorrow. If you're not familiar with the story, a priest came to him running for his life. Alban hid him, listened to him, and chose to follow Jesus. Then soldiers came. He swapped clothes with the priest, let him escape, and gave himself up instead, and was persecuted. Then on Wednesday, the church pauses and remembers the birth of John the Baptist. And we all know how his story will end. It's always easier to say what we would do if faced with difficulty when we know that we are unlikely to ever face it. But let us not be fooled into thinking that in this world today, this portion of Scripture isn't being lived out over and over again. Consider the news. We don't have to look very far to find reports of Christians being persecuted somewhere in the world. And if there isn't a big story currently being played out in the news cycle, visit the information website for the Barnabas Fund, a charity that acts for persecuted Christians worldwide, and you will find no shortage of inspiration. Christians all over the world are refusing to turn their backs on their faith, despite the risks it places on their lives and the lives of those they love. Here in Australia, as I've come to observe, we are surrounded by very loud voices who tell us that religion has no place in public life. They don't want the Lord's Prayer used in Parliament. And so here I believe the prayers are read at the beginning of each sitting day in the Senate and House of Representatives, because it is included in the standing orders, but not so in the Federal Chamber. Representatives of the Senate House and House of Representatives, however, are not required to be present or participate in the prayers. Whereas back home for myself and Suane in New Zealand, the New Zealand House of Representatives no longer use the Lord's Prayer. Proceedings open with the Speaker's Prayer, a tradition inherited from the British. In 2017, the prayer was updated to be non-sectarian, with specific reference to Jesus Christ and the Queen, or now King, were removed to better reflect the country's diverse multi-faith and secular population. It is now a secularised aspiration. Then let's talk about the not wanting chaplains in schools. And so apparently schools are not required to have a chaplain. It's completely optional and up to individual school communities. Flexibility to have either a chaplain or a secular well-being officer. And chaplains can be of any faith or no faith. And the service is designed to be inclusive and non-religious. Then you get to they don't want even the option of religion taught in tax-funded schools. So you have non-government, private government-funded schools who are faith-based instruction and compulsory curriculum, like Frederick Irwin School. Then you have the government public schools, like Kudinup College, with secular but religious teachings still being offered, either as special religious education, which is optional, led by volunteers like the youth care chaplains, and or you have general religious education taught by the school teachers about intercultural understanding and religious literacy, not faith foundation. We're very good at discussing amongst ourselves what a shame those examples are, but are we willing to speak up? Jesus tells us that what we hear from him in the darkness, we must repeat in broad daylight. What we hear whispered, we must shout from the rooftops. The opportunities are there for us to do that. Are we willing to act on them? The reality is, we don't generally like conflict. It is far easier to nod and smile. When faced with a strongly opinionated person, whether we agree with them or not, we're facing a similar situation in today's world. As a group, Christians are at risk of being edged out of public view. And if we're not careful, we can be complicit in allowing it to happen. We know that we can worship quietly and serve God quietly, and there's even a biblical precedent that we should commune with God in secret and not for the purpose of attracting attention. And yet there must be a balance where we are also willing to share our faith and do so bravely, even if we find it scary. That is what Jesus asks of us this morning. He asks us to speak up for him, to acknowledge him before others, as he acknowledges us before the Father. He asks us to put aside what others think of us, and in doing so, he reminds us that this is not a new problem. Jesus teaches on this subject because there were people around him who found it hard to speak up and admit they were Christians. We may not be putting our lives on the line when we do it, but make no mistake, some people will look at us in a new way. Nikki Gumbel, the Alpha Course founder, speaks of the difficulties people have when their friends and family become Christians. It makes relationships difficult at times, but it is worth it to begin that incredible relationship we are offered by God and by the grace of God. And this, in the next couple of months, plans will be put in place to see Alpha courses offered here again. We are left today with a question to ponder. Are we following Jesus' teaching in the way we live out our faith? Are we truly putting God first in our lives? Or put it another way, if we were in a place where it was illegal to be a Christian, could the authorities find enough evidence to convict us? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.